Welcome to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter. And if you are listening, awesome. You can watch. If you're watching, you could listen if it's easier.
If you wanted to listen and watch at the same time.
Well, there is audio on the video, so I don't think you have to time up the Spotify or Apple.
That would be amazing, though, because we get that many more views.
That's why you're in for this, huh?
You're just in it for the views. Okay. I'm just thinking it would be nice.
If you've thought about one or the other, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893. This is the podcast where we talk about just biblically what we're going through in our quiet times and in life. And you're actually wearing, we do a cheesy Christian shirt. You're kind of wearing a repeat shirt.
Yeah, I am. And it's not we. It's only me. I'm the only one who's brave enough to wear a cheesy Christian shirt.
You are. I will give you that. You're brave.
But this one today, it's my friend's one.
Mm-hmm. It's Jesus in the friend's font.
Yeah,
he'll be there for you.
Yeah. And if you're just now listening to the podcast, and it's years from 2023, we received the news over this past weekend. Matthew Perry has passed away. And it was one of those that when my husband saw the alert come up on his phone. Oh, no. I mean, it was when he's, you know, the timbre of your loved one's voice, right? And when it changes to that place of like, this isn't just fascinating. This is tragic.
Yeah.
And it had that flavor of, I think, how we all experienced when Robin Williams passed.
It was very sudden. There are certain ones where you've never met these celebrities, but certain ones that you've connected with in such a way you may have not even realized that you're shocked by how much you're shocked and emotional about it. And I don't necessarily mean, you'll see weeping fans on news, you know, sources and stuff, but even just like how you feel internally, and I wasn't a huge Friends fan, but I respect his talent. And just the shock at the age and the circumstances. Mm-hmm. But you don't realize how much certain people mean to you. I remember those feelings with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And that you knew he was going to be hilarious wherever he was going to be. Yeah. Wherever he
just
was.
Just wind him up and watch him go.
Seriously. Yeah.
And we loved him. Mm. And we may not have known him, but we loved him. And I think that if you had to narrow it down, and I think we all did this every once in a while with each other, if you were a fan of the show, you'd be like, who's your favorite friend? I think Chandler was usually, if he wasn't the first one, he was in the top two.
Okay.
You just love Chandler Bing.
Yeah.
And because he was probably the most, well, for me, he was the most relatable.
Okay.
Because he was challenged in the dating department. He was the one that just was kind of more awkward and
sure. He got himself in interesting moments.
Yeah.
Helping a friend move a couch.
Move a couch and pivoting.
Right, yeah.
The bossy friend. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, I love that scene. And all of them were amazing at their roles, but there was just something about Chandler for me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, his humor, he would cover up his pain with humor, and apparently that was his life.
Yeah, and I want to get more into specifically the circumstances, him, because I think it's so relatable for all of us, even if you don't know much about Matthew Perry or anything. I think a lot of these are because of media and how shows can be and movies can be, and even the individual in real life, it can be a complicated legacy when you think about it. Because if you're like, well, I never watched Friends because of the content, because of the sexual content and the innuendos and stuff like that, I still think we can recognize, first of all, this is a person and a very talented person. And one that, as you've discovered in memoirs, one that was certainly on a journey here, especially in these past couple of years.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the whole, maybe you didn't like the show because of the sexual innuendo, and I get that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a lot of trouble with TV shows in general because I love the comedy aspect.
Oh, yeah.
But it goes part and parcel with the fact that they are not going to be sharing content that I believe in.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, okay, so do I completely reject it? And that's something that you have to do with the Holy Spirit, right? Lord, am I supposed to be watching the show or not?
Right, right.
And I remember my father always told me, bring Jesus along with you for the ride on everything. Mm-hmm. And you're going to know if you've crossed a line, and you're also going to know if you're allowed to watch it, but then he'll tell you, don't touch that part of what you're watching. Mm. But if you watch a show like Friends, The Office, Seinfeld, you know, these major shows, Parks and Rec is another one, you see people that are in and out of relationships and they're doing things that are not in line with what the Bible tells you to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what can you take away from it? And with Friends, there are a lot of people that can relate to the friendship aspect of one another, even when they were, you know, dating other folks. No, that aside, we're talking about the relationships and having one another's back through thick and thin. I think there are people that probably can't even relate to having those kinds of friends. Mm. They don't know what that even feels like. But when they would watch it on TV, it gives them hope.
Yeah.
Whether they know that that's what it's called or not, but if they're laughing along, there is a hopeful aspect of that. And when I connect hope to what is hope in the first place, it's manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. We only know about hope because Jesus gives it. And that's how I make these connections. The loving relationships that you see with these friends, we know about love because he first loved us, which is one of my favorite passages in 1 John chapter 4. Great passage. But in his journey, you know, I think a lot of us, when there was a Friends special that came out a couple, maybe a year ago now, I don't even remember when it was, but it was on HBO, and it was a reunion. And when I saw Matthew Perry, I thought, oh no, something's, I think a lot of people, in fact, a lot of people look shocked. I think they heard back from him. Is he okay? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
His appearance.
Something has changed with his appearance. They wanted to make sure he was okay. And now I know what was going on. So he finished his memoir, I believe, in 2022. I had no interest in reading it. The only reason why, because somebody who likes to get clicks, and this is what I have to be careful of in Hollywood. They will extract these little soundbite clip type things that make you go, oh, I can't believe they said or did that.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you miss out on maybe some really good meat because they've taken out this one little excerpt. It was like I haven't got to that part yet in the book. Him saying that Keanu Reeves wasn't a very good actor or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, if his book is nothing but smut, I have no interest in that. No. In fact, his prologue is so powerful. It's so powerful. And I want to put out a warning if you're interested in reading it, listening to it. You can actually hear him read it to you. Mm. If you choose, it's hard to listen to. But he shares about his life's journey and why he looked the way he did on that special. He had gone through so much. His body had gone through so much because he had put it through so much.
Yeah.
And it all began since he was an infant. As an infant, back in the 60s and the 70s, he shares, you know, it was very normal for people, if their baby was colicky, to give them a kind of drug that would help them fall asleep. He said, we even have photos of my dad laughing at me as I was nodding off, you know, because he said a stoned baby looks funny, you know?
Yeah, wow.
And he's like, that was my first experience. He does not at all blame his parents for what happened because a doctor or not told him what to do. She was 21 years old when she had this colicky baby, wouldn't stop crying. She was a kid herself. You know, he doesn't fault his parents, but, and then he had abandonment issues with his own dad leaving and being on a plane back and forth with no adult with him. It was just like this first part of his story. It was quite remarkable to hear how my favorite friend star started his life, and it reminded me, this is a guy.
Yeah.
This is a person who happened to be famous. He's just like all of us, getting through our own junk, and he had a substance abuse problem with alcohol, with drugs. He said, you know, I never did, it was never part of the partying scene. It wasn't a social thing. It was trying to feel better. And he said, I could be in front of 20,000 people, but I couldn't be in a room by myself on the couch in front of the TV because I was afraid that I would take another drink. And so he experienced so much trauma in his body, and it's quite a remarkable memoir. But there's one thing I really do want to share. And yeah, it might spoil maybe the first chapter or so, but I think it's super important to grab hold of. When he was a little boy, he had his finger, the tip of his finger, his middle finger, cut off. So he was a little kid, and I think he was maybe, I don't know, he was in kindergarten, I think is what he said, but he was really young, and a kid slammed his hand in the door, and I don't think he faulted the kid as being a bully. It was just, you know, it just happened, and he goes to the emergency room, and when his mom gets there, his whole hand is bandaged up really bad, and he's already in that place of, I have to care for my mother. I have to take care of her needs before my own. And he's like, don't cry. I didn't cry. It's fine. You don't have to cry. And I remember watching an episode once. I said, honey, he was talking to my husband, pause it. He's missing a part of his finger. Mm. Well, when he was a child, that's what happened. And so he was so completely embarrassed about it. For I think he said 6 years, he was very careful to conceal his hand in his pocket.
Sure.
Not let anybody see that. And on one of his many trips, he lived mainly with his mom in Canada, but would fly to see his dad unaccompanied, even as young as 5, he shared.
Wow.
So that's a 6-hour journey, by the way, by yourself as a 5-year-old and bumps and everything else. I remember my first plane trip. I was 16 and I was terrified. I can't imagine. But he was at one point, I think he said around 10 or 12, they allow kids to come up into the cockpit. And he said, I'm looking at the pilot. He's showing me all of these bells and whistles and things that he has to gauge and be in control of all of it and understand it. And it was overwhelming and amazing to me. And he got so excited, his hand slipped out of his pocket as he was, I don't know, gesturing or...
Mm-hmm.
And he quickly put his hand back in his pocket when he realized what he'd done. But the pilot noticed. And the pilot said, let me see your hand. And, you know, reluctantly pulls out his hand and shows the hand with the missing fingertip. He asked him, how'd that happen? He told him. And the pilot said, huh. Then he shows him his hand. Same finger.
Whoa.
Same issue with the fingertip being missing.
Yeah.
And he said, that guy, he can take care of this whole plane, all of those instruments, and he can do it, and he has the same thing I have. Maybe I can do more. And I thought, I was listening to it and I was near my dishwasher because I'm listening to Matthew share his story. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these moments that you align for your kids.
Yeah.
I don't know Matthew's journey with the Lord. I do know that later on, because I'm only at the very beginning of his book, I know that later on, someone shared excerpts from his story where there was an encounter with God, that he was on his last leg. He didn't know what else to do. And he calls out and says, if you're there, I need help.
Mm.
And he said this light in the room, brighter and brighter. And he felt something that I'm already discovering in the first parts of his story. He felt safe. Which he never felt safe. Mm. He never felt protected. He never felt good enough. He dated Julia Roberts, for crying out loud, and all these famous people, and he never felt like he was enough.
Yeah.
And he felt safe in that moment. He said, I have no doubt that I was in the presence of God. And from that moment on, for the next 2 years, he said, I became a God seeker. And I think about that pilot and how much that meant for little Maddie, is what his friends called him, little Maddie, to see somebody else share their scars.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important and valid because this man, not understanding why he might have been allowed a couple more years of life, I think he said, I think the reason why I'm still here, it lives somewhere in that I maybe can help somebody else. And he's sharing, oh my word, I have never read anything more vulnerable or transparent than what addiction looks like for families. If you don't know what addiction feels like personally, but you're a family member who's dealing, or as a person who, you know, we had my parents here not too long ago on our podcast, having somebody with mental illness be able to speak directly to that, is there's something so incredibly profound.
Mm-hmm.
That God can use when you allow your scars to show. And it's necessary because it removes shame from the situation. And then you desire to be held accountable because it's like, well, guess what? If my favorite friend's star, they might not hear it from somebody else, but they'll listen to Matthew Perry from Friends share his story and his struggles.
Well, I want to flip the script because I want to get to the Jennifer Aniston part of this story. Yeah. And we're not gonna, it's not that we're trying to do all Matthew Perry, but there's some spiritual lessons in
really
here.
Really good.
And then it's another great one of something that she did that we can, as Christians, learn from. I'll give you a verse on it too. And then also we need to get to what you had teased last week.
Yeah, I know.
Another serious topic that we'll get to at the end. But let me jump in here with this then. This is kind of my thing for today, and it times out perfectly. We were going over things that are allowed to happen to us and embracing that and using, and how my pastor put it is, since you're scattering. So the church in Acts 1 is called to make disciples. Go, therefore, into Judea, into the ends of the earth, make disciples. Mm-hmm. And as we check in at Acts 1 and Acts 2, they hadn't gone anywhere. they were still in Jerusalem. They hadn't gone anywhere. And so it's just fascinating when you look at it this way, that God allowed persecution by the time that Acts 8 rolls around, seven chapters later, so that the Christians have to scatter, that the message would go. And it's a way to look at suffering. When you think about the new friendships, the support groups, the deeper conversations with friends that we already have, when all I've done is talk about the weather with my neighbor, but all of a sudden I go through something serious, or he is currently, and I have before, and now we can connect deeper and I can bring God into this conversation. And this is exactly what's happening with a friend of ours. She goes to our Sunday school, and she's gone through a divorce in the past. She's happily married now. But she goes to some sort of divorce care group. And here is this woman that I can't remember if she knows this woman and invited her to divorce care, or I think she met her here. And this woman happens to be a Muslim. And now they are conversing on divorce, and both having been gone through that. I think the Muslim woman a little fresher, I believe. And now they're able to connect about God. And she says, I think she asked the question to our friend, Sarah is our friend's name. And she asked, so
the Muslim woman,
the Muslim asked Sarah. Yeah.
Okay.
So do you Christians, I've never been to a Christian church. Don't you have like concerts? Like, she's talking about praise and worship on any given Sunday is what she's talking about.
No, you know? I get it. But anybody looking on the outside in with the light show, some of us have, right?
The fog machine and all that. Yeah. And so, awesome. You know, she just clarified, you know, what all that was. And this woman is going to come to church here in a couple of weeks. And you see this, and I don't even know the circumstances of Sarah's divorce, but why did this have to happen? I don't know. I still don't think we know the answer to these things. But we do see that God uses the difficulties in our lives to be able to connect with somebody on a deeper level. And man, that is just like that, when that pilot did that.
Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, first of all, the circumstance of, like, you know, the happenstance, if you will, you know, just the chances of that, you know, and when you just think about it, you know, all of a sudden you're like, wow, well, who would have thunk? But the fact that he didn't just go, oh, cool, same thing. Yeah. Like, it meant so much to this young man that he was able to go on and at least be confident in that.
Yeah.
And then you have his struggles that now just keeps, we're all going to have struggles. And now he's at the end of his life, he was turning that into, you know, whether you'd call it ministry or not, he was a God seeker and he was helping people beat addiction. We don't know what, if it was faith in Christ, we don't know, but God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, as scripture says. So good things and bad things are happening to people that are his kids and people that aren't.
Yes.
And the circumstances are there for everybody on planet Earth to be able to embrace at least this principle that I can use what was meant for evil, and I can help others with it.
I really love the hope-filled, there's that word again, hope-filled verse, where Jesus himself is the one who says, when you seek, you shall find. And the fact that Matt used the word, Matt, like I know him.
You feel like you did, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Carter, you and I have a very tiny, tiny platform compared to somebody like a guy on Friends, you know. Yeah. But trying to, when we connect, we have the pleasure and privilege of getting to talk to celebrities from time to time. You just see them as people. They're just people. So yeah, little Matt you know, with his finger and talking to the pilot, I'm envisioning this apart from any celebrity. And I think that he truly wanted to in his last couple of years here. This is what you, in fact, you're the one who told me, this is what I want to be remembered for, is that if I could have helped anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said, I think he said something to the effect of, I know friends will be remembered first, and that my request won't happen, but it would be nice. And I mean, obviously he's a comedic guy, so I'm sure that was funny, but still true that he wants to be known for
helping people.
And it sounded like he would give his, I don't know if it was to friends of friends or maybe to strangers, but it sounds like he would give his number out to people. Oh, you're going through addiction? Let me help you.
Wow. There was something satisfying to him in helping people because it was in line to me. That sounds a whole lot like what Jesus told us to do, to serve one another. We find satisfaction in the things that Jesus asks us to do.
True.
And commands us to do.
Yeah.
And so when you seek, you shall find. And so for this woman who has become friends with Sarah, you know, there are people, and we have to allow for the process. We're going to see people who, yes, today they may say yes to Jesus, and then they may still continue to, for lack of a better term, tamper with stuff that they probably shouldn't be now that they're Christians, but they are processing.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
We've talked about that. We're a new creation in him now, right? The old has passed away, the new is. Well, I'm still, even having known Jesus for most of my life, I am still discovering every day as I read the Bible, Lord, you have been trying to tell me not to do this thing. Mm. And this should be old hat by now.
Sure.
Speaking of old hat, that saying, old hat.
It's old hat.
It's very old.
It's much like when you use the term hip.
Hip.
If you've used it,
yes,
then you instantly are not that.
And you probably have had a broken hip. So anyway, but I was encouraged by what I read, because that was one of the things that I think I do struggle with, when you feel like you know a person, but you don't know their faith. You don't know where they're at. Then when you get the news that they're gone, when you get the news that Robin Williams has taken his life, it hits so heavy, so hard, because you just don't know where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
Did Matthew love Jesus? Did he say yes? And that's the hard part, because if you died tomorrow, oh my word, I'd grieve, but I'd also be super happy for you, because there's this incredible song Mandisa sings about, you wouldn't cry for me. If you could see where I'm at right now, you wouldn't be crying.
Yeah.
Why would I withhold my loved ones from this incredible thing? It's probably selfish of me for wanting them to stay with me as long as they can. Then, but at the same time, I understand that. That's why we have relationships, is to know a little peek about what love is meant to look like.
Sure,
it's hard to let go, but Jesus gives us life and He gives us love, and He wants all of those things to be abundant and forever, which is why He gave us an out from sin-filled life into eternal life. And so my hope is that He's with Jesus.
Yeah. But I think no matter what, we'll get to heaven, and there'll be people that surprise us that are there, and surprise us that they're not.
But we need to be careful, like, because I want them immediately to already have, quote, arrived.
Oh, sure.
With all of this stuff, like, they've arrived. They know that this is wrong and this is right, and that is, the Holy Spirit is helping them figure those things out.
Well, it's very, and I don't want to get off on this, because when you want to get to the Jennifer Aniston part, and then obviously with what we shared last week, but you made an observation that when somebody starts as a Christian and then messes up, there's not as much forgiveness publicly for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So say Kirk Franklin, but I was thinking of Kirk Cameron. So say Kirk Cameron messes up publicly in some fashion, people are going to be, I can't believe he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But with Chris Pratt,
mm-hmm.
who we knew as an actor, and
before.
then just all of a sudden his faith has started to incrementally shine,
yeah.
and he's clearly figuring it out. And in the last year or two, it seems like he has, figured it out, even though sometimes you – on-screen choices, you're like, man, I'm surprised he said that. But anyway, but there's, for some reason, this, come on in. God, I love that Chris Pratt's a Christian.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, we got to be careful of that, because we certainly want to hold people accountable in the right way.
Absolutely.
But
not be two-faced.
Yeah.
It's hypocritical.
It's interesting. So this is such a great verse for all of us that have to have difficult, or should have difficult, conversations with people.
Yeah.
And it was... with Matthew Perry, he remembers Jennifer Aniston being the one to confront him lovingly.
Of all the friends,
and say, we can smell it on you.
None of the writers, from what I understand, he said it was Jennifer.
And whatever the issue, Even if you're like, okay.
And she kept doing it, by the way.
And she kept it. I didn't know that. So that's good to know.
She confronted him, yeah. And then she would keep checking in with him. How are you doing?
So even
and
if
she was the only one who did that.
Even if you're like, okay, enough with the Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
This is so like, you think about that person in your life that has either been gutsy enough to talk to you, or that person in your life that you may feel you need to talk to. And I have before, I've been talked to, I have talked to before, and I've also felt like I should and didn't. Mm-hmm. And here's Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So probably not a good idea to, you know, in this case, maybe not hang out with Matthew when they're with friends doing such activities, right? But in the right space to approach them. And, you know, I've kind of—
Because we're not immune.
We're not immune, right? And I've heard that interpreted, you know, you are godly of you who are in the right path right now. You're at a good place, or at the very least, a good place on this subject. And you can help correct another believer in love. We just, the culture we live in, it's just icky. It's hard. I don't want to offend. I don't want to. And man, yet he remembered that. He remembered what she said to him and how meaningful that is. It may invoke a harsh reaction, but years from now, if you do it the right way, most likely they're going to say, I'm thankful that somebody had the guts to approach me.
I think in my life experience, when people have spoken to me with an authority and a clarity, there is something that breaks through the nonsense. And I think it's the Holy Spirit's word in your life. It's like, boom. The moment she said that, he didn't slough it off. She was the one who was able to we can smell it on you. This is a problem. We see it in you. This is a problem. And I wish I had a recording of what it was like. The only other thing I can kind of like connect this to in my personal life was when my dad had a bipolar episode where he had a breakdown, I guess we could call it, for lack of a better term. We keep saying for lack of a better term. But he went on a plane to another state, flew to the White House to see the president of the United States, whom he had no relationship with.
As I say, the president wasn't expecting him, I don't think.
Not expecting him.
Right.
But it was my grandfather's voice on the other end of a phone call. He called my mom, and my mom's just trying to get information. Where are you, Tim? Where are you? Two little ones, you know, back at home in her arms and trying to figure out where her husband is for days. And my grandfather, with clarity and authority, Tim Reside, come home. And there's something about that when you speak with the authority of the Holy Spirit, regardless of, look, I don't know anything about Jennifer Aniston other than that she's lovely and she's a great actress in terms of her faith or anything. But God can use anybody he chooses. And when you hear that, that is a voice from God saying, hey, you know, I cannot and should not be afraid to love somebody like that. And that's hard for me to say because I don't like confrontation.
Sure.
I don't know of anybody who really does like it. And
I've met a few.
If you do, I'm probably not compatible with them. Yeah. I don't think I would be compatible. But at the same time, it's like if I love that person, then I should confront that person.
Well, and how I've heard it put is if the bridge is out ahead, you want to tell somebody.
Flag them.
That the bridge is out ahead. And it's not pleasant.
And there's no, well, if you think that maybe you don't like the bridge being out ahead, then
if
maybe
you can
it's
visualize,
whatever you believe.
Right.
No.
Right. Yeah, no, tell them the bridge is out ahead. I want to make sure we have enough time, especially because of the sensitivity of the last topic. But on Rochelle's parents' episode, you can hear that whole story from him. I don't think we have a keyword set up still, but if you just go to the playlist of I think it's special guests on our YouTube channel. It's a bonus episode, guest appearances or special guests, whatever that playlist is called. You can find Tara Lee Cobble. You can find Rochelle's parents. That's a great one to check out.
Yeah.
So what you talked about was a conversation. See if I can summarize real quick. A conversation you had with your son about an article you found where, and just trigger warning here, if you're watching, this is a thing in, it was either Sweden or Switzerland that mm-hmm. had a government assistance, some sort of thing being in the works about self-assisted suicide.
Yes. And I'm glad that you brought up, you're like Sweden or Switzerland. And honestly, it's been a week or whatever since we talked about this. So I will definitely look this up real quick. But yes, this is an actual thing. He brought it up. Sarko Suicide Capsule is what it's called. It is Switzerland. And it's basically a version, it almost looks like a spaceship coffin.
And it helps people in their life.
Pass away quickly.
Quickly. Okay. And you had a...
Yes.
He felt strongly about it.
Well, the first thing he said is, I mean, without even saying anything, he said everything. He was like, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just mm-hmm. sarcasm. It's just what the world needs
mm-hmm.
is another way to die or kill yourself or just, you know, dismiss what God's plan is altogether and a completely understandable response. But I wanted him to take a second look. When I was a little girl, I remember saying a statement that my dad heard in passing. He's just walking through the living room and I'm watching the news. And there is the guy that I know that is not behaving Christ-like and he's passed away. I said, well, he's digging coal now. I was like 6 or 7. And I probably heard that or thought of it because of a Looney Tunes that I'd saw where a devil was probably shoveling coal or something. Mm. My dad sat me down and said, it is not for you to determine who goes to heaven or hell. And he used that as an opportunity. I know it's not the same, but I never want to miss out on a conversation with my kids where I don't try to have them look at all angles.
Mm.
And we brought up Robin Williams. We brought up the fact that that was a suicide. Do I think it's okay to commit suicide? No. Do I condemn people who committed suicide? No, that's not my job either. But I also want to be sensitive because as a person who understands from the outside looking in, I do deal with my own biochemical issues. I have obsessive compulsive disorder and I do need help with that. I need a structured medication plan for my life because it's a genetic thing in my family. My father is bipolar disorder. It is a severe condition. If he does not take medicine, who knows where he's going to fly next? With or without the aid of an airplane, because he literally thought not only could he fly, but that he was Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And because at that point, you're not even thinking.
Yeah.
So my dad has been blessed to be a part of it. My mother now for a long time, a support group system that helps people who have mental illness. And I know that there are people that we have loved within our family that have chosen to take their own lives because their brain is a prison and they can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I am not advocating for taking of life, especially your own, because in the word it says that everything on this planet belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
Everything. He is the giver of life. He is the one who determines the end of it as well. Having said that, I also know that there is a mercy seat. And mercy, wow, it's like a diamond with so many different facets. I can only fathom how many times God has shown mercy to me in my life and not taken it like that because I did something stupid again.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's a merciful God because we still exist. We know he's a gracious God because he sent his son. And not only did he take away her sins, but he gave us eternal life on top of that. It's like he absolved us of sin and then gave a gift on top of that.
Sure.
Defines what grace is. So in moments where you have no support system, you have no family members who are loving you, who are helping aid you, if you are dealing with a mental illness or you're dealing with something else or you're dealing with cancer or any number of things that can make you feel that desperate, I don't know the answer. I do not want to be the first one to say, oh yeah, well, they dismissed God's plan, so he's dismissed them. I'm going to leave that one between God and them. But if anybody were to come to me, then I would share everything that I know Bible-wise, like every Bible verse that would encourage hope. And then I would try to find out some way to come alongside that person who is that desperate. There's a deep need here.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough scripture when I wasn't taking medicine helped. It was not a faith issue because I am a woman of faith. I believe. But when your chemistry is out of whack, if you have diabetes, you take care of it with insulin. It's the same thing. So you have to figure out, okay, what do we need to do to help this person who's dealing with addiction, who's dealing with loss, whose child was murdered, who's any number of the things that can lead people to wanting to take their own life? How can I appropriately come alongside somebody like that? Because to me, this symbolizes that there is no hope left having a machine to help and aid. But I do understand why somebody would even think about it being merciful. Because if you have sat by the bedside of a person in stage four cancer and you see them withering away, how could this be something that God would want to allow in a person's life? I remember asking that once, and this precious person, they had not known their uncle very well, but in the last days of his life, they came into that living situation and learned how to serve him. He was desperately ill. If his life had been taken, they would never have been given the honor, the privilege of serving their uncle.
Yeah.
And in that moment, there's just that one little angle. You know, we were talking about Sarah. Why would she go through a divorce? Is there something? Because God promises me that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. How, Lord, can you use this? So I had a conversation with Sammy, and it's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most of us would be just like appalled, which like 99.9% of me is appalled.
Yeah.
But there, I also have been privy to circumstances where I understand that people are very, very much in pain. And they don't know what hope looks like because maybe nobody has introduced it to them or come alongside them or aided them with the relief here, or there's any number of things that can happen. It's why Jesus sent us out to the nations.
Yeah. Well, I think this is – it's one – you have to be able to speak on an issue and say what's right, say what's biblical.
Absolutely.
And that we don't have the authority to take life. And that's in anything. That is ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's with the abortion movement. Mm-hmm. That we care for life. We cherish life. God – chooses how, you know, he's numbered our days, right? Knows what the number of is our days. But I think where we can start to, in any issue, speak rightly, justly, about a topic, especially with the nature of the internet,
mm-hmm.
is where instead of this debate and we're choosing, you know, diplomacy or we're choosing what our church is going to do and what we're going to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
It trickles down to the individuals.
Mm, so good, yeah.
And they in that in turn don't feel heard.
Yeah.
And
Feel shamed.
Or they feel shamed.
Yeah.
I think any human would take a different route in speaking at let's say a school board or a church is deciding something very powerful. I know that a lot of churches have, are we going to go with this branch or are we going to go with that branch here lately? Maybe your individual church is voting. You're going to go up and you're going to stand up there and you're going to be bold and you're going to speak truth. And that's going to be a different route than if a friend of yours came to you and said, I'm struggling. I'm thinking about taking my own life. You're not going to lecture.
That's right.
Now, you might be bold in some areas and tell them, no, you're worth it. And I love you. And I'm here for you. But you're also going to listen.
Yeah. What's going on?
And you're going to be compassionate.
Yeah.
And you're not going to try to speak out a turn. Mm-hmm. You're going to be more sensitive. You don't have as much of a plan in that situation compared to maybe you have your papers ready as you walk up to the podium to speak at a school board or something.
Yes.
And so I think that's what's tough about the nature that we live in with the internet is sometimes we speak on whatever the topic might be, and it is right and true, but we've also got to realize the impact it has on individuals.
Yes.
Now, just because it has that impact on individuals doesn't mean that I change the stance or I have a cancer or anything.
Right.
But I think what you're telling your son is, yes, absolutely, be appalled, but also walk forward with compassion.
Yes, yes. And you said it a lot quicker than I did.
Well, did we time it? Was that it?
No, but my son Sammy would be like, no, Mr. Carter said that a lot faster than you did, Mom.
Is that it? I'm going to play Xbox now.
But right. Yeah. I always want to like explain it and probably over explain it. And I really do appreciate that about my dad too. I will never, I am so grateful I had the parents that I had. Mm. I'm so grateful that they had pain in their lives. I'm grateful because I've learned to embrace pain at times when it comes my way, in a sense that I want to know, Lord, what, if anything, can I benefit and can others benefit?
Yeah.
And we need to learn to do that instead of rejecting, because in this world, you will have tribulation. It's a part of this world. It's what Jesus, in fact, he didn't like say, I promise you're going to have pain. No, he said, you will. So it's like a matter of fact, you will. Mm. And if we keep pretending like things are candy-coated, I spoke with a gentleman recently where he had a troubled friend who, just like Matthew Perry, was addicted. And he got some relief. He went through rehab. It took, or so everyone thought, for 7 years. Somewhere in there, he started to live a double life. And he hid in shame what he was doing in closeted places where he was doing the drugs that everybody else thought he was relieved from.
Yeah.
But at church, here's this guy with a sunny disposition. Are we checking in with our friends?
Yeah.
Are we asking, are you okay? Because I've struggled today too, and let me tell you about that. But let me also tell you the hope that I've found in reading God's word. If we get more accurate with one another, and just as Matthew Perry, I applaud you.
Yeah.
For being transparent, I think we do a lot better in the healing process.
This is so good, and we so appreciate your feedback. You know, we had a lot of comments on our Halloween episode.
Yes, we did.
And
we appreciate those, whatever shape and size they were.
Yeah, whatever you want to share, and whatever topic maybe you want to tackle next, just leave it in the comments on YouTube there. And again, if you're listening via Apple or Spotify, you can text the word QUIET to the number 893-893. You'll get the YouTube link. You can find this video or any video. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you.